Hey, this is Kristen Cheetah, and I just want to welcome you to my podcast this week. And today, and I don't know if this is going to be a series or if just going to be a one-time thing, but I'm going to read through part of my motherhood manifesto, and I'm just going to kind of talk about it as I go. So today, we'll see how far I get, and I really just pray that this encourages mamas and that it encourages whether you're not only mamas in the natural, but spiritual moms as well, and any grandmas that are out there, and those who are really investing in the lives of children. It is the most worthy occupation. And I want to do this today because I was walking through Hobby Lobby this afternoon, which I do quite often. And I was walking through the whole Christmas aisles because that's all out right now, which is great and terrible all at the same time. And I literally said out loud, oh, I'm so sad I don't have my kids in the house for Christmas time. I'm so sad that I don't have the little ones that are just around me to just feel the excitement. And there is such the jubilance that comes from a young heart. And then we've moved to Kansas City. So not only was I missing just young ones in my house, I am missing being around my big kids, my grown-up kids that two live in Omaha and one in Florida. And I was just thinking, oh, dang, Christmas is not going to have the same meaning in my home this year, because there's not going to be a lot of activity where it's kind of crazy. So as I was just thinking about that today, I thought, you know, I really want to just spend some time just encouraging moms. And this time of the year, from now, we're at the end of October, through the holiday season with Thanksgiving, well, trick-or-treats coming up, and then Thanksgiving, and then we move right into Christmas, and then we move right into New Year, and it just seems like it can be all of a big blur. So I just wanted to take some time to just kind of walk through the joys of what we do as moms and walk you through my manifesto. And really, a manifesto is just, it's like a guiding principles. It's kind of writing down your kind of the Magna Carta, like this is my doctrine of motherhood. But it's much more simple than that, because which mother has time to like read through a doctrine? But it's just kind of when I would feel myself getting off track or feeling discouraged or overwhelmed, as often are the days of mommyhood, that I would just take a breath and just remind myself of what God has invested in me, what He's given me, and these little ones that I desired and longed for and prayed for, and what a gift they are in my home, knowing that that time is really, really short. The day-to-day feels like forever sometimes, especially if you have a husband, if your husband works out of town, or if he has long hours, or if you're working, and or both you and your spouse are working, it can be like, oh my gosh, how do we manage all of it? And it can feel overwhelming. It can feel even mundane. If you are a mom that stays home with your children, that every day doing the same thing over and over and over can get a little monotonous. But I want to just bring encouragement, fresh wind to what you are doing. So as we go into my motherhood manifesto, and you can find this on my website, kristencheetah.com. It's on the arrows page on the top. If you just click on arrows, I kind of just talk about what it means as we are raising these great arrows that God has given us. And then at the very bottom of that page, you can download the motherhood manifesto. So the first thing that is kind of encapsulates all of it is that in my motherhood manifesto, I just wrote out statements and I said, we will build a life we love. And crazy awesome, when I was walking through, shockingly, Hobby Lobby, shortly after we moved here this last summer, I walked through Hobby Lobby and there were these two huge panels, and it said, And so together, they, and then the second one said, built a life they loved. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's what has been the course of over my life. So I, of course, had to buy those. And those are on one of our walls as I'm walking upstairs. So every single time I walk up the stairs or I walk down the stairs, I see that and I say, yes, we have built a life that we loved. But I want to just spend a couple minutes here because from the moment that when Greg and I got married, my husband and I, it was a very rocky beginning, and I'm not going to get into a lot of the details of that, but if you've heard my story or if you know Greg and I, we're very open to talk about it. So there might be a time when he and I together just share our story. but it was a really rocky start. And so part of that was Greg kind of decided after we got married, he wasn't sure that that was the life for him. So this began for me in this motherhood manifesto when our daughter Lindsay came along, that I made a decision that whether or not Greg was with me, I was going to build a life that I would love, that my children would love, at that point, I just thought, well, if it's just me and Lindsay, I'm going to build a life that she and I will love. And that gave me focus. And it also caused me, caused my spirit just to kind of awaken and rise up and just say, I don't care what the circumstances look like. And actually, I really began to pray and declare over my marriage that marriage is a good idea. Being married to Greg, we've made a covenant before God. And so, Lord, I'm standing for our marriage. And there's a lot in that that just I didn't share a lot of things with people. So I do want to encourage you in that. If you are going through a rough season, to be very careful who you share with so that the only people that you share with will be those who will stand in belief for what you are, what you have expectation for. So that's a whole nother podcast. But what we have done, so after those first tumultuous years, as I was going after building a life that I love, that my daughter and I would be able to love together, that when God moved in Greg's life and his heart and my heart as well, and really brought us into this place of unity, we decided together that this was going to be what we would go after, that we would build a life that we love, that we would build a life that our children would love. And this isn't to say that we wanted, you know, that our kids are going to be happy. Oh, we want our kids happy all the time. But we wanted to create an environment that was rich. And part of this desire was, now I can look back and, oh my goodness, that moms, I want to encourage you. Fast forward the camera. Like, think about 10 years from now. If the things that are kind of bugging you right now about your kids, like, is that really a big deal? Like, in 10 years, if I don't deal with this, is that going to be an issue? Or is that just one of those childish things that just drop off? If it's an issue, like a product, something of the heart, a sin issue of the heart, yes, deal with it. But to think, kind of forward thinking, do that 100-year, not even 100-year vision, a 10-year vision, a 5-year vision. Like, if I don't deal with this now, is it going to be a big deal? And you and your spouse, talk about what does it mean for us to have a life that we love? Greg and I wanted to have we wanted to create an environment in our home, and there's some of that in my motherhood manifesto, where it was rich, that our children's friends would be completely invited. They could come and go as they really, almost as they pleased, that we would have a home that was filled with joy and filled with, just really filled with love, where our kids would be able to try things and make mistakes and try things and make mistakes or decide, nah, that's not for me. So what is it that you love? We love adventure. We love being outside. We love boating. We love just, there's so many things. And so we purposefully, intentionally set up our life to build it in a way that it would be something that we love. We wanted to be in a neighborhood where we would be friends with our neighbors. So our kids would have a life with friends right in our little chunk of the world. And we were purposeful about gaining friendships and being with those that were in our circle, our immediate circle. loving the kids in the neighborhood. We had our fridge stocked, our fridge in the garage. We had, when the kids were little, juice boxes and apple juice. And then when they were older, we had any kind of soda that you could ever want was in our refrigerator. And we always had little pizza rolls and pizzas and all those little snacky things, so that our home would be a place that people wanted to hang out. And so this is just, what is it that you want to build? How do you want to set up your family life? What does it look like for you to build a life that you love? So that was our first thing. And that kind of is the overall of everything on my motherhood manifesto. Build a life we love. And the second thing was to remind myself that God is the one who thought up children and family and home. It was His idea and it is good. I just want to stay from the foundation that this is God's idea, that He loves marriage, He loves children, He loves family, and it comes from His plan and His will. We see it in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He created a husband and a wife. He created them to be fruitful and multiply. So I stood in that place that on those days when it's like, oh my gosh, how many more times do I have to hear mommy? I would say, no, this is a good idea. Being a mommy is the blessed idea. I am so thankful that God thought this up. This isn't some kind of man-made thing. It came from God's heart. It's God's design. It's His plan and His purpose. So that God thought up children and family and home. It's His idea and it is good. The third point in my motherhood manifesto, and sometimes I had to say this one over and over, I have been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children. This is how God made me. So whether I was working full time, whether I was volunteering, whether I was home with my kids when I was homeschooling, pick anything. I had a variety of things that I did. Whether I worked part time and was home, whether I was working part time and homeschooling, that I was fashioned by God. No matter what else I am doing, I've been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children. So I ask God, just give me joy. Fill me up with your joy. The legacy I would leave to my kids is that they would remember a mom that was full of the joy of the Lord, that saw the positive, that saw the possibilities, that saw the impossible made possible, because I'm a happy mother of children, embracing my kids. Now, I want to say there are days, February is a terrible time. And we lived in Omaha, Nebraska for the majority of my kids' lives. And being one who homeschooled every day in February, I would be like, I am never doing this again. Homeschooling was the worst idea I've ever had. Living in winter is the worst idea we've ever had. And it's, just dreary and it gets dark. Oh, just so, so disappointing in many ways. Freezing cold, blowing wind. And my husband was kind of trained that he would know that once February came, he would just say, babe, you're doing a great job. Don't make any big decisions. We're in February, so hold on. June is coming. July is coming. Don't give up too soon. So that was what would help me be a happy mother of children. And since I've been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children, I really wanted to take care of myself. So I made sure, like I've been a runner, almost all of my adult life and, or worked, worked out. And that, just building that into my daily or, several times a week, my routine, that really helped when I was having those low times, it just gave joy to my soul. So there were things that I just did in my day that made me a happy mother of children, making sure that I had time with the Lord, like spending time with Jesus by myself, or even when I had my little ones, I would just kind of surround them around me, and I had bought them each, they each had little Bibles that I bought, like some, cheaper little Bibles, and I gave them little notebooks that, I bought at the beginning of the school year for like 10 cents or 12 cents. And I would get them each their own highlighter, and they had little pens or pencils, and they had their own little notebook. So they had their journal and they had their Bible they could highlight. So on those days when I couldn't have my own time with the Lord because it was just kind of chaotic, then we would just sit down on, I had a little blanket in our living room, and we would just sit down on my blanket, and that was like, this is our tent time blanket, so everybody stays on the blanket, but here's your Bible and your journal, and you have time with Jesus. So what is it for you to be a happy mother of children? You've been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children. So what can you do to just kind of put something into your day? What are things that are really important to you to have in your day? And talk that through with your spouse. Even if your kids are older, talk it through with your kids. When my kids got a little older, I wasn't really able to, I didn't belong to a gym, so I couldn't bring the kids and put them in the daycare, you know, or whatever. But when they were older, we joined the Y. The kids were older. So John was like 8 years old, so I would go and run on the track upstairs around the basketball court so I could see him down on the basketball court and doing whatever, you know, things I had in open gym. And I would just run and keep an eye on him. So even though I'm with my kids, I'm doing something that I love. When he was little, I'd put him in the stroller, and I had a jogger stroller, and I would run with him and bring a couple of his little stuffed animals and a couple books, and he would just kind of read and, well, whatever, you know, look at the books while I ran. Even before we had Jonathan, when Caitlin was learning to ride a bike, I would run and she would ride her bike alongside of with me. So I was very purposeful of figuring out how can I maintain the things that really are like refreshment to my soul, to my spirit, to my body in that working out, even though I didn't have the finances to join a gym for a number of years. So we just kind of figured out a way to make it work. In the winter, when I couldn't push in a stroller, or I couldn't have Katie riding bikes beside me or Lindsay riding bikes beside me, what I did is I put the kids down to bed at night, and then I would take our dog and I would run at like 9 o'clock at night, 9:30. And Greg had bought me these little, you know, this is when your husband just knows you. It's so beautiful. One year he bought me a treadmill for Mother's Day, and I had friends say, wow, is that just the worst thing ever? I'm like, no, that was so great, because that's what I wanted. I wanted a treadmill. So on days when it's icy and I can't get outside, all I have to do is go in my basement and run. And then for Christmas one year, he got me these little like things that were like, I don't know, I put them on underneath my tennies, and they just kind of gripped the ice or the snow. So I could run with these little things on the bottom of my shoes, and it was awesome. I never had to worry about slipping. So there are just things that I want you to think about. What is it that makes you a happy mother of children? Do you need like just to run out to Starbucks and get a coffee every morning? Is that something that breathes refreshment to your soul? Because we have been fashioned, mamas, we've been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children. And we want our children to see that expression of love, of joy, that we are so thankful that God has given us the blessing of these young arrows in our quiver. Okay, the next one is on my motherhood manifesto is, and I do this still today, find something every day to treasure in my heart. Every single day, even on the roughest of days, on the days when, for me, it's usually has to do with winter and snow and blah, or wind and cold and yuck, I would have my eyes alert, open to finding a treasure that I could just put in my heart. It says of Mary that she treasured these things in her heart. And I want to be like Mary, just to find treasures every day that I could just put in my heart. And part of that, and you know what? I write them in my journal. Because on days when you're having like low days, when you're having, you know, those days when it just seems like everything's going wrong, your kids are crying, and you can't do anything right, or you and your husband are in a fight, you know, just real life. Then you can look back on, wait a minute, I have these treasures, and remember all these beautiful things that you could see that you can treasure in your heart, and remind yourself of all these great things that God has put in your path. I think it, and I do this every day still. And my husband and I, when we go, because we've been able now with being an empty nest, it's really wild. We get to travel and I can go to Target and I can literally walk up and down every single aisle and I could take an hour. I could take 2 hours at Target. I can go to Hobby Lobby and I can walk up every single aisle. There are so many blessings about this this time in our life, but I want to treasure. I don't want to miss anything. So I'm asking God to give me what is a treasure that's for today that I can put in my heart. When my husband and I bike, we love to bike, and I think every time we bike, I bike the entire time with a smile on my face, and I'll say to him, "This is so great. Thank you for coming with me. This is so great. Thanks for planning this. Oh, I love biking with you." And he'll be like, "Oh my gosh, every single time you have to say it." And I just have, I feel like I have my eyes are full of wonder. So I'm looking at the trees and I'm looking at the birds and I've got my ears open listening to the sounds that I hear when I'm biking. There are treasures all around. There's sometimes really simple treasures. When your child asks you a question that just melts your heart, or the way that they talk and they say something. And my little girl, Katie, who, well, you know, she's 26 now. When she was little and just learning how to say gloves, and this is still something, I chuckle every single time. She would put them on and she'd say, "Mommy, help me with my gloves. Help me with my gloves." And I, every day in the winter when it's horrible and I have to put my gloves on, I'll say, "Hang on, I have to get my gloves on." It makes me laugh even now. So there, that's a little treasure. It's a treasure that time in your child's life. My daughter sent me a Snapchat this morning of her little baby Weston. Well, he's two. And just talking in his bed and his little voice, it's so precious and so high and so, it just seems so fragile and beautiful. And I thought, what a treasure. It's these little things. What are the treasures? Find something every day that you can treasure in your heart. It might be something as you're driving. Fall, the beauty of fall right now. Oh my goodness, the red of the trees. I feel like my eyes they're increasing with wonder. I just read something yesterday, I think it was on Facebook, where somebody wrote, "My favorite color is October." I was like, yeah, is that not true? That there's color all around. So maybe it's a tree. Maybe it's something that you've seen in nature and you just want to treasure that in your heart. Maybe it's something special that your husband has said or done for you and you just, today that's just the treasure in your heart. There is something when we keep our eyes open to look for the beauty, to look for the wonder, to look for the treasure. Maybe it's something that God spoke to you in the quiet of the night when you were up praying or up rocking or up nursing a baby. Maybe it was in the wee hours in the morning when you got up to have some coffee before your kids got up and started the day. Maybe it's you homeschool and it's something that your kids discovered as they were reading or the way they're writing or whatever it could be. There are millions of things during our day that can be these little treasures that we can put in our heart. So we want to be like Mary, where we find things and we just treasure them in our heart. And I think so much of them, I think about, and we'll look at this one in a little bit, but, I'm going to go right into it. So the next one is, this connects too to the treasures. Mothers are keepers of history. Create memories for my family. This is what I did. This is what I still do. And when we go out places, I'm always taking pictures. So part of the beauty in my home is that I have pictures everywhere of my kids. And these are some of the greatest treasures that I have in my heart, that I have these pictures of my kids when they were itty bitties. I have pictures of my kids as they're growing up. I have pictures of my kids in the things they love to do, in soccer and swimming and dramas and singing and worshiping and preaching and just all of these treasures. And part of the being a keeper of history is that we are the ones, mamas, that create memories for our families. So what is it that you are doing as you, and in the age that we're living now where our phones are, I mean, instant photos of everything. Oh my goodness. Oh, to be a young mom now. Oh my gosh, it'd be so great to just capture all of these moments, capture them. We are the ones that are keepers of history. We're the ones that are creating memories that will last a lifetime. We're the ones who help with the traditions in our home. We're the ones who capture those. So what is it that you're doing to create memories for your family? You know, maybe every year you bring all the neighbors over and you carve pumpkins during October. Maybe you have a little Advent tradition that you do every single year. And so that is a way that you're keeping history. I think that traditions help to keep history, not only just capturing pictures, but whenever, if we're out somewhere and I'm with my family, I'm taking pictures all the time. And, you know, sometimes it, you know, can be annoying. And one of them will say, oh my gosh, would you just stop it? And I will say, hey, now remember, mothers are keepers of history. So I just kind of excuse my crazy behavior of picture taking because, well, you know, I'm keeping history. But what are the things that you can do in the way of traditions? Even as we're looking at this Advent season coming up or Christmas season coming up or Thanksgiving coming up, maybe there are things that you can do as a family as you're preparing for Thanksgiving. Maybe you can do something special for Christmas. What is it? We do shoebox, those shoebox gifts where we pack a shoebox and we send them with Samaritan's Purse every year. So in a week, we'll have our little grandsons with us, Silas and Weston. So I'm going to take them out shopping so that they can fill the shoeboxes because my kids are now grown and I've been doing it. You know, Greg and I still do it, but now we get to pass that on to another generation. So what is it that you can do to create memories for your family? And these don't have to be like, well, we do a huge vacation every year or we do a huge vacation every couple years. What is it that you can do from the day to day, from week to week? I just want to encourage you to keep history. Something we did around our dinner table from the time our kids were, I think, starting to talk. We would go around and ask my children, this would be another one of those things that it's like, oh my gosh, really, mom? Really, dad? But it makes a difference. Moms, dads, if you get that from your kids, don't stop doing what you're doing just because you get some, you know, like bad attitude. You just keep going because those are what really create memories. They stick in their little hearts. So one of the things that we would do around the table at night, at dinner time, is that we would each share a high and a low from our day. And that was a better way of doing it than saying, hey, what happened today at school? Or, hey, what happened today at daycare? Did you have fun? Did you learn anything? Yes, no, 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 yes, no. You know, those answers. So we would do, tell us a high, something really positive, and then tell us a low. And if the kids shared something, or if we shared something that was a real low, we would just stop and we would just pray about it right in that moment. So this is a way that you want to create memories. It's not just the big things. It's not just, well, you know, we spend hundreds of dollars on them at Christmas time each year. That's what we do. It's our family thing. We're creating memories. What can you do in the little bits that every day, that over time, they're like seared in the memories of your children? We did, we've done so many things that we've, and you know what? Here's the other thing about that. Try some things. Some things will stick, and some things you'll just either forget about and then they'll fall on the wayside, or collectively you'll decide, yeah, that's really not, that doesn't float our boat as a family. So, one more thing that we've done, I'll just share, is that we did a, every year, and we do it still, and I've shared this before. We would do like a family mission statement for the upcoming year. So this is the time of the year that my husband and I would start asking the Lord, what do you have for our family for the following year? So right now, you know, we're looking at next year. So that would be 2019. Like, God, what would it be that you have for us? And we would ask the Lord to just really give us, highlight a scripture, highlight maybe just a phrase or something that our family can kind of rally behind. And then we would gather with our family around Christmas time when they were on break, when they were older, and when they were little, it didn't matter. And we would just kind of share what we were thinking and just ask for feedback. You know, what do you guys think about that? Does that sound like we're on track? And just kind of get feedback from the family. And then we would all set like one or two goals for the next coming year. And we maintain that throughout all of their, all of them through high school. We did family mission statements and we would set goals. Now that our kids are all living on their own, and they are now, going to be starting their own families, then now what we do is we just do the kind of what's your one word for the upcoming year. So all of my kids will be here in December, and not at Christmas, unfortunately, but it's at a weekend in December. So we already are saying, okay, so start thinking about 2019 and asking God what the word is or a phrase that he has for you or you as a couple for the upcoming year. And then I write those out on a board and I keep them in my house. And Greg and I, we all know what our word is, and we just kind of take it throughout the year and just talk to the Lord about it. And then, so what will happen in December when we all get together is we will just share about our word for 2018. How do we see God working in that? What were some experiences that we had? Was it what you thought? And we really spend time just, it's creating memories for our family, because mothers, you are the keepers of history. So I'm going to stop there. And then next week, I'll just continue on my motherhood manifesto. I'm going to review the few that I shared today. Build a life we love. God thought up children and family and home. It was his idea and it is good. I've been fashioned by God to be a happy mother of children. Find something every day to treasure in my heart. And the last one, mothers are keepers of history, so I create memories for my family. So those are the five that I tackled this week. Next week, we'll continue on and see how far we get. Have a blessed week.